There you are. And greetings once again. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Ni hao. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Bonjour. Buongiorno. So be corrupt. Guten Tag. Have a day. Ciao. Wee viva. Ket bang. Jai Janendra. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now. Go vegan. Is how? Go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison, military industrial poor nation, in the cheese-covered post-constitutional banks bankrupt corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Well, we just received the most massive wake-up call ever from nature. Did that splash in your face wake you up? Are you hearing the alarm? Okay, so after we wipe the sandy from our eyes, what do we do? It's time to get real and be real. It's time to be real environmentalists, real stewards of the earth, and see the reality. Sandy is the result of your meat and dairy consumption. And if you just don't care about your family, your children and their children and your children's children's children, if you just don't care about people and other animals, if you want to see Sandy the sequel, and if you want to see Sandy 3 and 4 and 5, and well, just keep eating meat and dairy, the menu for environmental devastation. Now, I am a native New Yorker. I was born on Manhattan Island. I went to Stuyvesant High School in Lower Manhattan and Queens College in Flushing. And had I not had a gypsy radio career that brought me to California and all over the country, well, who knows? I might have drowned a few days ago. I may have been without food or water or shelter and I mean, we're used to seeing environmental disasters in far-off lands. We're used to talking about island nations far away disappearing under rising sea levels. Not Manhattan Island. It can't happen here, right? Even though it's global warming, it's supposed to affect others around the globe. Not supposed to be in the land of American exceptionalism. We are the chosen people. Other people are supposed to experience climate change. Only people in far-off lands become environmental refugees. Only people in far-off lands have tsunamis flooding their nuclear power plants. Oh, and I want to break this down so that even the simplest thinkers can consider all of this. So only people in far-off lands are supposed to have tsunamis flooding their nuclear power plants. Citizens for Legitimate Government reports problems at a number of nuclear power plants because of Hurricane Sandy. Indian Point in Buchanan, New York, on the Hudson River, north of New York City, shut power to its Unit 3 because of electric grid disturbances. Also, an alert was declared at the nation's oldest nuke plant, Oyster Creek, in Lacey Township, New Jersey, due to water exceeding high-level criteria. The plant also lost power, which is critical to preventing spent fuel rods from overheating. 9 Mile Point 1 in Scrivener, New York, also was shut down, as was Salem Unit 1 in Hancock's Bridge, New Jersey, on the Delaware River. And 9.2 had power losses. So one can't but help question our collective intelligence to be so accepting of having nuclear power plants as our neighbors, using the deadliest substances on Earth to boil water and then create the deadliest waste on Earth that stays deadly for hundreds of thousands of years. This is not the brightest strategy. It almost makes me feel that when Americans are chanting, "We're number one, we're number one," well, that's as high as we can count. But I must say, the greatest proof of lack of intelligence surfacing now in our country, it's not George W. Bush, although that pretty much is high on the list. But the greatest proof for lack of intelligence in our country, ironically, can be found in the ruins of Coney Island, in a mud-covered Nathans. Yes, the greatest proof of lack of intelligence in this country is our diet. Meat, dairy, fish, and eggs are the menu of the stupid diet. Yes, and the stupid diet of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs is also the suicide diet, the homicide diet, the diet of environmental devastation, and the global warming diet. Now, I wonder if my old high school, Stuyvesant High School in Lower Manhattan, is covered by water, mud, and sand like Nathan's in Coney Island. Stuyvesant is one of three high schools in New York City specializing in math and science. And a formula comes to mind right now. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So, if climate change causes superstorms and animal agriculture, the production and consumption of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, causes global warming, then animal agriculture causes superstorms. Your charred pig body covered hamburger, your glass of blood and pus filled cow's milk, your bird cadaver nuggets, your salmonella scrambled bird embryos are all the cause of global warming. America's national diet of stupidity. Yes, meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. It's the diet of environmental devastation and environmental terrorism. Could you imagine if something like Sandy were the result of a terrorist attack? I mean, we'd have to bomb Iraq all over again. Of course, no matter who caused it, because that's just what we do. That's our intelligence at work. Intelligence. Al-Qaeda could never dream of being able to do what Sandy did, what animal agriculture did. All Al-Qaeda can afford, are some handwritten signs saying, "Americans, keep eating what you're eating. Keep eating what you're eating." Who stole your brain and rewired it to find decomposing cadavers and animal secretions and excretions appetizing? What a stupid diet, don't you think? Well, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. If meat and dairy cause climate change and climate change causes superstorms, then meat and dairy cause climate change. Environmental scientists, Robert Goodland and Jeff Anhang of the World Watch Institute and World Bank estimated that animal agriculture is responsible for 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. 51%. The stupid diet is responsible for more greenhouse gas emissions than all other human activity combined. Even a UN report that has been widely criticized for underestimating the impact of meat and dairy said that animal agriculture is responsible for more greenhouse gas emissions than all transportation combined. This is the conservative UN estimate. So more than all cars, trucks, boats, and planes combined, the stupid diet of animal agriculture. The World Watch Institute study also blames cow burps and farts or your cheese sandwich as being the greatest cause of human-caused methane. Methane release. And methane is at least 70 times worse than carbon in the climate change equation. Now, shutting down factory farms is not the answer. Grazing animals produce 400% of the methane that factory farms produce. So my animal rights friends who are misguided and trying to shut down factory farms, no, you have to shut down all animal farms. And now as we swelter through the highest temperatures on record and we experience a record loss of Arctic ice this past summer, my hometown looks more like New Atlantis than New York. Not the New York I new. So from Scientific American, in an article, "Did Climate Change Cause Hurricane Sandy?" written by Scientific American senior editor Mark Fischetti, I quote, "The atmospheric pattern that sent the jet stream south is colloquially known as a blocking high, a big pressure center stuck over the very northern Atlantic Ocean and the southern Arctic Ocean. And what led to that? A climate phenomenon called the North Atlantic Oscillation, essentially the state of atmospheric pressure in that region. This state can be positive or negative, and it had changed from positive to negative 2 weeks before Sandy arrived. Recent research by Charles Green at Cornell University and other climate scientists has shown that as more Arctic sea ice melts in the summer because of global warming, the North Atlantic Oscillation is more likely to be negative during the autumn and winter. A negative North Atlantic Oscillation makes the jet stream more likely to move in a big, wavy pattern across the U.S., Canada, and the Atlantic, causing the kind of big southward dip that occurred during Sandy. Climate change amps up other basic factors that contribute to big storms. For example, the oceans have warmed, providing more energy for storms, and the Earth's atmosphere has warmed, so it retains more moisture, which is drawn into storms and then dumped on us." End quote. NASA scientist James Hansen has blamed climate change for excessive drought and says that climate change is the only explanation for the extreme hot weather of the recent past. Hansen is also a scientist who recognizes the animal agriculture connection to climate change. "It's too bad that so many others, so-called environmentalists, fail to recognize it or are ignorant, both inexcusable." Program after program on the television set, on the radio, and nobody whom I saw interviewed on the networks or Democracy Now! Or NPR or Pacifica, nobody's talking about the most important aspect of climate change. Nobody is offering the solution to go vegan, that we all have to go vegan, well, except for me. I challenge all the leaders of the environmental movement, you know, the Bill McKibbins of the world, the Al Gores of the world, who ignore the inconvenient truth. I challenge them all now to get behind the movement to go vegan to stop climate change. If we were serious about the issue and really didn't want to drown our families and our friends, we would ban meat and dairy immediately. You know, I mean, concentrating on miles per gallon and carbon credit trading, recycling the wrapper from your Oscar Mayer wiener package, huh? Now, they're all distractions from what really needs to be done. The stupid diet of meat and dairy is the diet of environmental devastation and environmental terrorism, and you cannot be a meat-eating, milk-drinking environmentalist. I mean, you're about to elect a meat-eating president who will never consider, much less embrace, the real solution. So if you're looking to renewable energy as the answer, well, get real on that. Robert Goodland, renowned environmental scientist, whom I mentioned, associated with the World Watch Institute, estimates that a sufficient renewable energy infrastructure would take 20 years and $18 trillion to develop. And that would be after you get your government to agree upon it, a government that can't really agree on what day of the week it is, or anything. So, what are our options to save the world? Well, we do have to ban the production and consumption of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. And if we can't ban them collectively, we have to ban them in our families and individually by going vegan. You can do it. It's a collective effort done by individuals. Animal agriculture is environmental terrorism. You're either with the vegans or with the terrorists. And with the blackout in the media and among so-called environmentalists, censoring the vegan solution, I really feel the need to lobby various programs to interview me on the subject. Maybe you can help me put some pressure, you know, on demand that the vegan solution is discussed. Let's see if we can contact Amy Goodman of Democracy Now, or contact your Pacifica radio station, or Bill Maher, or contact the ABC, NBC, BS, PBS, Fox, Clear Channel, Media Monopoly, and demand that they interview me on the only solution for climate change. And I'll be contacting them too, and ready to talk about it on their shows after I'm done with my trial this week, actually, as I sue the city of Anaheim, the city of animal crime Anaheim, for violating my constitutional rights by arresting me at a protest against Ringling Brothers to protect Anaheim's official policy of supporting and profiting from animal abuse. Anyway, if you'd like to attend my trial and watch justice or injustice in action, or inaction, the trial starts tomorrow, Monday, November 5th, 9 in the morning, Superior Court of California, County of Orange, 700 Civic Center Drive West in Santa Ana, in the courtroom of Judge Derek Hunt. Coming up on today's program, one of the most important issues coming up in the election on Tuesday, Proposition 37, which would require the labeling of genetically modified ingredients in foods. The opposition to Prop 37, led by Monsanto, has spent millions to preserve the corporate right to hide versus your right to know. And today we will talk to Stacey Malkin of the California Right to Know campaign. She feels that the anti-Prop 37 campaign has been deceptive, and we'll talk about that. Also on today's program, the story of Bill and Lou, two oxen who have attracted worldwide attention after Green Mountain College in Vermont decided to slaughter them and serve them in the school cafeteria after they've been using the two oxen on the campus for all their lives. And you know, Bill and Lou are still alive because public pressure on local slaughterhouses won them a reprieve. But Green Mountain College is dead set on killing them, even though it's been offered thousands of dollars to send Bill and Lou to a sanctuary. And today we'll talk to Miriam Jones of the Vine Sanctuary in Vermont that has offered retirement to Bill and Lou. And we'll also talk about what we can do to try to save them. And you can try to help this radio show stay on the air. We haven't gotten any advertising support from Monsanto. Can you believe that? Why is that? We're listener-supported, and you can make a tax-deductible donation to help us by making your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, 94147. You can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, please visit goveganradio.com.
Your support of the International Fund for Africa goes to direct aid for human babies and animals in need in Africa. Compassion for all beings is exemplified by the work of the International Fund for Africa, delivering critically needed medical services from the introduction of neonatal care in Ethiopia to the Homeless Animals Project for dogs, from the Rural Health and Development Project to the Veterinary Medicine Hospital Project, and promoting veganism as the best way to help people, animals, and the environment of Africa, the International Fund for Africa is leading the way. Its dynamic president, Dr. Antenna Roba, is a Houston emergency room physician who sees the deadly health effects of the standard African-American diet of animal products, and then goes home to Africa to witness the deadly environmental effects of the standard African-American diet there, as meat and dairy-based climate change devastates the continent. The message from the International Fund for Africa is, Go Vegan Africa, no GMOs, no factory farms. Find out how you can help the International Fund for Africa help people and animals in Africa. Visit ifundafrica.org. Stop starvation. Save the environment. Visit ifundafrica.org. Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special place, no meat, dairy, fish, or eggs in San Jose. Experience Vegetarian House, 100% organic vegan restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. A favorite fine dining establishment since 1994, featuring a spectacular international menu embracing the cuisines of China, India, Thailand, Vietnam, the Middle East, Europe, and the Americas. Appetizers, soups, salads, entrees, and desserts that you simply must experience. Enjoy freshly squeezed organic fruit and vegetable juices. Committed to your fine dining experience, your health, compassion for animals, and the environment, Vegetarian House is powered by rooftop solar panels. Waste is composted or recycled when possible, and all to-go packaging can be composted or is biodegradable. The cuisine at Vegetarian House is GMO-free and organic. See the menu at vegetarianhouse.us. Experience one of the world's best 100% vegan organic restaurants. You'll love the bakery items. Raw desserts are available, too. Have your next event catered by Vegetarian House. Whether you need power box lunches or it's a full banquet, call 408-292-3798. Vegetarian House. Now you know the way to eat in San Jose. 520 East Santa Clara Street in San Jose. VegetarianHouse.us. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden would like to express its appreciation to Vegetarian House for its ongoing sponsorship of our radio program. To advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products, email bob@goveganradio.com. RecipeFactory.net. Create more delicious, healthful, and affordable meals. Visit RecipeFactory.net, where you can analyze existing recipes or create new ones. Customize to use or avoid specific ingredients. Meet your dietary, aesthetic, and budgetary requirements. Check complete protein, inflammation, and glycemic load. Create food and meal substitutes, upload your recipes, and download others. Visit RecipeFactory.net. Create at RecipeFactory.net.
K-C-A-A.
It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, GoVeganRadio.com. And you can follow us on Twitter. It is at GoVeganRadio. And, well, here's a choice that's easy to make. It's Daniel's Choice, a brand of foods from Vegan Heights that takes American comfort foods to new heights. Yes, you can have the meaty, creamy, cheesy foods you love without sacrificing your health, animals, or the environment. Daniel's Choice from Vegan Heights. Check it out on Facebook, facebook.com/veganheights. Check it out at your natural foods market, including Viva La Vegan in Rancho Cucamonga and Mother's Markets in Orange County. When you choose Daniel's Choice from Vegan Heights, you will be amazed by the taste. Look for cheesy mac, eggplant parmesan, lasagna, and steta chicken. All four will quickly become favorites at your house. Take salads and your other favorite foods to new heights, flavored by creamy garlic spread or Vegan Valley ranch dressing. Also, tasty mayo, original, or smoky chipotle. Compare Daniel's Choice to conventional counterparts. Zero cholesterol, low fat, low calorie, low sodium, but high in flavor. Vegan foods taken to new heights. Daniel's Choice from Vegan Heights at select Southern California natural foods markets. Visit facebook.com/veganheights. You can taste Daniel's Choice foods at the Thanks Go Vegan 2012 we're having Sunday, November 18th. from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Viva La Vegan. I'll do the radio show there that day. I'll interview Seth Tibbett, the founder of Tofurky, and Chef Rafaya. We'll have samples also of her Thanksgiving feast that you'll be able to purchase for your Thanksgiving Day festivities. You'll be able to taste all of that for free at Viva La Vegan. That will be on November 18th, Sunday, from 1 to 6 p.m. The holidays are practically here, huh? And you're thinking, a lot of people on my shopping list. What can I get them? 100% vegan, cruelty-free, environmentally friendly fashion is in the bag from Gunas, G-U-N-A-S. I just sent something around on Facebook about Gunas. Everybody loves Gunas, the handbags, the purses, the totes, the clutches, the luggage, the accessories. Gunas has styles for men and women. The perfect holiday gift idea. Go to GunasTheBrand.com, G-U-N-A-S, TheBrand.com, GunasTheBrand.com. 100% vegan and cruelty-free, meaning even the adhesives are vegan and water-based, and no animal ingredients whatsoever. So let's say no to leather and really get in fashion and get in style with Gunas, G-U-N-A-S, GunasTheBrand.com, GunasTheBrand.com. We continue now on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And in the news, we have gotten worldwide attention for the plight of two oxen, Bill and Lou. The oxen are in Vermont and have been offered sanctuary. They've been at Green Mountain College working all their lives, and one of them was injured, and now school seems to want to kill them and eat them, serve them at the college cafeteria. And a lot of people around the world are upset about this, and people would like them to go to a sanctuary. My guest today is Miriam Jones. She's with the Vine Sanctuary, V-I-N-E. Veganism is next evolution. And she would like to have Bill and Lou at her sanctuary. Miriam, welcome to Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. How are you today?
Good. Thank you so much for having us on the show.
Thanks for being with us. So, tell us about the story of Bill and Lou. It's really captured everyone's heart around the world. We want to save them, and give us the background.
Sure. You did a great job of it. But basically, Bill and Lou are two oxen who live at Green Mountain College in Poultney, Vermont. They have lived there for about 10 years and, as you said, have been worked most of that time to do anything from plow the fields to haul hay wagons to actually generate electricity. And then sometime early spring, Lou stepped into a gopher hole and injured his hock. And I believe there was definitely one, perhaps two periods in which he received rest and then was put back to work, only to re-injure his leg. So it became clear that he could no longer be worked. And Bill, it should be said, has not been injured during this process. So through a series of decisions, which I honestly, at this point, it's difficult to tell how the decision was made, but it was decided to send them to slaughter and to serve their meat in the cafeteria. The decision was made well before students returned to school in the fall, but it was decided to let them live through the end of October, and for reasons that are, I don't know.
What are some of the reasons that they've mentioned? I mean, I know they won't make any sense, but what have they been saying?
Well, no, honestly, we literally haven't heard any reasons for the delay.
Oh, really?
Right. So,
I've heard things quoted such as, it's environmentally sustainable to kill them because they're not useful anymore. So why waste resources on them like food?
Right? Oh, yes, that's a reason to kill them. They've given several reasons to kill them. Why they waited several months to do so is unclear. But yes, absolutely. So what happened was an alum.
But in that case, that reason to kill them, I mean, that could be said for grandma, right? I mean, if grandma's not so useful anymore, and she's eating too much oatmeal, so right? I mean, it's crazy reason.
If you like, we can jump to the reasons why they gave. I was given two primary reasons on the phone when I spoke with the farm manager. And the first one was economic, actually, that this is what farms do, and that we're supplying our school with food, and, you know, it's the cost of blah, blah, you know, economics, straight up. And when I countered that argument, then the next reason was given about sustainability. And that has been, although through the process the reasons have shifted to some extent, that is the primary one that the school is sticking with. That word sustainability is, as you know, a hot-button word right now. And, you know, you can kind of throw it around, and whether or not a given situation really speaks to that is almost irrelevant to that word, the power of that word.
Sustainability. And I've also heard people quoted saying that it's better to eat the animals whom you know, and they, you know, that they've been treated well, and so rather than eating strangers who may not have been treated so well. I mean, it's all weird for a vegan, you know.
It is. And interestingly, the official school position has tended to straddle the sustainability line. But faculty members, and particularly those concerned with the farm program, but not solely, they have put forth that argument that you just did. Right, other than the sort of mind-bending wowness of it.
It's mind-boggling.
It's also a logical fallacy, because it puts forth the proposition that there are two and only two choices. There's a dichotomy here. One can either eat the flesh of animals one knows, or one can eat factory-farmed flesh. And of course, this reasoning omits the glaringly obvious third choice, which is that one can choose not to eat anyone's flesh. And that choice is left out of the argument. Always the assumption, rock bottom, base level assumption, is that one must consume flesh. And that omission is critical in this particular debate.
Definitely. Oh, you mentioned economics before. Hasn't the school been offered a considerable sum of money so that Bill and Lou could go to your sanctuary or a sanctuary?
Absolutely. It's stunning the amounts of money people have been putting forth as offers. I have heard upwards of $100,000. People have offered to chip in. And given the thousands of people who've offered to do that, I would guess that might even top that amount. The school continues to say this is a matter of principle. We won't sell them for any price. And they have maintained that all along. Even a very large donation to the library was declined.
This is truly amazing. You know, it's almost like spiteful. I mean, I don't really understand that, you know, I don't really understand what's going on with this at all. And so they were supposed to have been killed already, yes?
Absolutely, right? Absolutely. The original, what we knew from the beginning, actually, was that they had until the end of the month. And for reasons that, again, are unclear, they could no longer be on their pasture after October 31st. So what happened was a large number of activists from all over the country, possibly the world, I don't know, phoned all of the area slaughterhouses, which are AWA approved. That stands for Animal Welfare Approved. And they phoned them, and they expressed their strong opinions that they felt this was something that should not be done, that they should not slaughter and process Bill and Lou. And this happened to the extent that the area slaughterhouses declined to process Bill and Lou. The way this was presented from the school to the outside world was that slaughterhouses were responding to threats that were made, and that's why they're scared to do this. And, you know, Vine has certainly never called in threats or advocated the doing of same. And honestly, I suspect that what is perceived as a threat is no more than a strong opinion, and it's unfortunate how those two things become conflated. Whatever the reality is, in terms of what was said, the fact is that there aren't any outlets for them to go to right now. So here they still are. We heard word today that they're still alive, and we're just continuing to push and make the school understand that this is an enormously unpopular decision.
Do you have the number for the school so our listeners can call in, hopefully many, many, many of them?
We do. Thanks for asking. Yes, Green Mountain College phone number is 1-800-776-6675. Again, it's 1-800-776-6675. And what we'd like folks to do is ask the Green Mountain College president to grant clemency to Bill and Lou, sending them to sanctuary. I will say right now that callers will most likely not get through to the president, and they might, in fact, be told by the receptionist that the school is no longer taking comments on the subject. But I would encourage people to utter that one sentence and get it in, because if that's what the school hears over and over and over again, that we believe is a way that the school can, A, send them to sanctuary, any reputable sanctuary. We don't have the need to possess them at Vine. If they hate us, they hate us. They don't have to live here.
But you're the nearby one, right? You're the sensible, logical location for them.
We are, and particularly given that Lou not only has a bad leg, but one that has not been medicated since he injured it. Yes, it would absolutely make sense for them to come here. But definitely, if rancor is going to mean a choice between death and a long trailer ride, you know, we'll vote for the trailer ride. So, you know, we definitely want the school to hear that this is a move that will not in any way indicate the school is saying, I'm sorry, we were wrong, we made an error. If they don't, you know, want to be perceived as such, clemency is the perfect option.
Now, if the school is putting its hands over its ears and singing la 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 la, not wanting to hear anything anymore, is there anything else that can be done? I mean, what?
Yes, absolutely. The Vermont Department of Tourism might well want to hear about this. This is definitely something that doesn't reflect well on the state. The Vermont Department of Agriculture, even though it came out publicly in favor of the school in a press release, that doesn't mean that they are not open to hearing the opinions of folks, particularly those who either live in Vermont, New Hampshire, and New York, or those who have ties to this area. So you know, the governor's office as well, they have expressed, and Bernie Sanders, they've expressed, the governor has given his support to the school as well. But again, you know, the marathon was going to go on, and then it was canceled thanks to public opinion. So public opinion upon occasion can sway people.
Yeah, we're talking to Miriam Jones at the Vine Sanctuary in Vermont. And something you mentioned about the slaughterhouses nearby, though, sounded strange to me. You said animal welfare approved. Oh, no, am I going to get a stomachache now from what could that be?
Well,
is that possible? So animal welfare approved throat slashing? I mean, I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, it's you know, I think that when you enter into the world of this particular world of the so-called humane meat, milk, and egg movement, you know, if you think about it, many things follow to their logical conclusion. So you start from one kind of concept that is mind-bending. If your paradigm is that all individuals, regardless of species, are inherently equal. So if you know that, all of these things make you a little crazy. But if you accept as a mind exercise that this is humane to farm another living creature, then it follows logically that you're going to want to kill them in a manner that you find humane. And so these AWA slaughterhouses exist to essentially, so they say, make death easy, painless, and just like a little vacation. And I think that obviously, just like these farms that purport to be so much better than factory farms, undercover investigations prove that is far from the truth in any kind of consistent way. I don't know, but I would venture to guess that the same has to be true for these slaughterhouses as well. Again, throwing away for the moment that death in itself is inhumane, just forgetting that part. You know, I think other problems have to exist, although I don't have any proof of that.
So are you surprised at the worldwide attention that Bill and Lou are receiving?
I'm not, to be honest with you. You know, it's been a very broad-based movement. definitely the vegan core is there. And to them, you know, not only are we fighting for two individuals to live, but we're also, you know, they're all Bill and Lou. And all cows who are murdered for consumption or abused and exploited for work or seen as whatever they're seen as within themselves, that they are, they, for better or for worse, have come to symbolize that reality, particularly as it pertains to the so-called humane farming movement. But beyond the vegan core, there are plenty of farmers, including those who farm animals, in quotation marks, who believe that, you know, they are working animals, and working animals retire. You go to pasture. That's what we do. If we can do it, and the key was always in the traditional farming household, if we can do it, can we afford the hay? Can we afford the pasture? In this case, we offered to pick Bill and Lou up at any time at our own expense and care for them, again, at our own expense. So they certainly can afford to do it. Then there are people who eat flesh, and they point out that 11-year-old working oxen meat is generally never served to humans for consumption. So you have, but I think what you said in the beginning about grandma, I have to say that seems like a common chord throughout everybody. Either folks are at that age when the world tells them they're done now, or they're old enough to imagine being that age, and the indignation and the outrage is a straight up empathy. I feel myself in their shoes, and I don't want someone to tell me I'm using up resources if I hit.
Right.
You know,
we're all using up resources, you know. So,
exactly.
So drop the big bomb now, and that'll be sustainable. The most sustainable thing. Drop the big bomb. We're just about out of time, Miriam, and it's really great to speak with you. And maybe a minute left, but you know what you said just now is, you know, all of them are Bill and Lou. You know, we have sympathy for these two cows who have gotten our attention, but all of them, by the millions, each one is Bill or Lou. And if we want to save each Bill or Lou, we do need to go vegan. We don't eat humane meat. We don't, you know, we don't get, you know, Wayne Pacelli holding the cow's hands going to the slaughterhouse. Forgive me. I have a terrible anti-HSUS streak in me. You don't have to. I know it's not your comment. But, okay, so in about the 30 seconds we have left, anything you want to say? And should people contact you and help your sanctuary?
Well, first I want to say amen. That's absolutely true. All flesh is murder. So absolutely. And a plant-based diet is the only sustainable diet. So even if you couldn't care less about other creatures, if you care about your own self, you gotta go vegan. We support Bill and Lou, and yes, please, listeners, call the school and express your opinion. And thank you so much for the chance to talk about this.
Is there a website for your sanctuary?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. It's Vine, V-I-N-E, .sanctuary.org. And our blog has been exceptionally lively, particularly lots of traffic from GMC students, parents, and faculty. The conversation is fascinating. So to get a sort of in-depth look at these issues from the inside, check out our blog. It's humming.
Yeah, and I don't know how appetizing the Green Mountain College cafeteria sounds. I don't know if I'd be eating there anytime soon.
Yeah. Some of us are predicting a lot of vomiting that day. I'll just say that.
Yeah, kind of disgusting, actually. But eat your friends, because it's better to know whom you're eating than...
Absolutely.
In that case, Jeffrey Dahmer could be president of the school.
That's right. Very humanitarian man.
The school number is 800-776-6675, and also call the Department of Tourism in Vermont. Tell them you're not going to hold your next convention there if Bill and Luke are killed. We want them alive. Thanks so much for the work you're doing, Miriam Jones. Avant,
thank
for being
you as well.
Today.
Thank you. Take care.
For as long as I can remember, I've been locked in this crowded, filthy cage. Constant abuse, deprivation, and suffering. Painful metal floor I can barely stand on. Day after day, month after month. This is my entire life. I thought we'd be in here forever. But then, something great happened. People began to take a stand for us. They started voting to get us out of cages entirely. The promise of a cage-free life. To no longer be trapped in a cage. But now, that promise is in danger of being broken. The egg industry is pushing federal legislation that would trade one cruel metal cage for another. And their bill could never be challenged or changed by state law or public vote. Even though most people want us out of cages. If we let the egg factories win, we'll never get out.
We'll never get out!
Keep the promise. Take action. Visit StopTheRottenEggBill.org. Fight the egg industry's plan to keep hens locked away in cages forever.
With over 200 restaurants around the globe, Loving Hut is the largest chain of independently owned vegan restaurants worldwide. The first one in North America is in Milpitas, California, at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford University students and faculty enjoy Loving Hut at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. There are 3 Loving Hut locations in San Francisco, 1 in Elk Grove, and 1 in San Jose. For the Loving Hut near you, visit lovinghut.us. You'll find Loving Hut restaurants throughout Southern California, too. And in the Inland Empire, there's a Loving Hut in Claremont and in Upland. Many of the goodies at Viva La Vegan Grocery in Rancho Cucamonga are from the bakery at Loving Hut Upland. The people at Loving Hut are on a mission to save your health, save the animals, and save the planet from climate change and other environmental disasters caused by meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption. Who knew that saving the planet would be so delicious? Save the planet. Eat at Loving Hut.
Southern California's Inland Talk Express is KCAA News Talk 1050.
It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. Well, now you can buy your office supplies from a vegan-owned and operated business. It's Sage Global, 888-341-3911. Make the switch to Sage Global. Receive a $25 Visa gift card. Details are at sageglobal-llc.com or call 888-341-3911. Call Sage Global for your long-lasting mercury-free LED light bulbs. San Francisco residents get a rebate from PG&E. Call 888-341-3911. Recycled toner cartridges made in California. Call Sage Global. Sage Global for all your office supplies. 888-341-3911. sageglobal-llc.com. November 18th, come out to Viva La Vegan. Chef Rafaya will be sampling her Thanksgiving specialties. We'll have tofurkey out there. Yes, tofurkey. That's what we eat for Thanksgiving. And there'll be samples from Daniel's Choice. Chef Rafaya, the in-house chef at Viva La Vegan. Check out her products, Vegan with Joy, wonderful soups, wonderful salads and specialties and sandwiches, many of them veganic. So check it out at Viva La Vegan and come see us November 18th at Viva La Vegan from 1 to 6 p.m. Stacey Malkin is with the California Right to Know campaign. The election is Tuesday regarding Proposition 37. And do we label genetically engineered foods or not? Welcome to the program, Stacey. How are you today?
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being with us. So I've been seeing on television a lot of commercials against Prop 37. You wouldn't even know what they're about. They all seem so deceptive. Scientists in white jackets and endorsements from newspapers and all. Has this been a deceptive campaign run against Prop 37?
Oh, deceptive is an understatement. It's been incredible to watch. This is a $45 million opposition campaign, you know, funded by the biggest pesticide companies and junk food companies. And we've seen
Monsanto at the top of the list, of course.
Monsanto at the top of the list, $8 million, all the big pesticide companies and all the big junk food companies. And it's just been dirty trick after dirty trick. We've just seen, well, the TV ads is one piece. You know, they've all been called out as misleading by fact checkers that have bothered to look at them. And not only that, there are many deceptive mailers from obvious front groups going out to people, Greens against Prop 37, literacy groups, you know, Democratic voting guide made to look like the Democratic Party, but actually the Democratic Party has endorsed Prop 37. So please beware, everyone, and everyone who's out there, you know, talking to friends. That's one of the most important things we can do in the next few days is just let folks know there's a lot of deceptive activities, and they need to look into the facts, and you can find those on our website at yeson37.org.
Yeson37.org. So they invented a false title for their top science spokesperson.
They did so. Stanford University forced them to yank their first ad off the air because they had the guy Henry Miller, who's just notoriously radical, you know, front man for tobacco groups and climate change deniers. It's pretty incredible. This guy was on TV every hour of every day telling Californians what to think about Prop 37, and they misidentified him as a Stanford guy, and he actually works for the Hoover Institute, so they changed that. And that's only the tip of the iceberg. They've done it again and again with misrepresenting science, professional, academic organizations, even newspapers, and they've gotten away with it.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of newspaper endorsements. No, not quite as true as their ads
say. You know, they have gotten a lot of newspaper endorsements, but yet they've featured newspapers that didn't endorse them in some of the ads. And so it's just really been an incredible reign of deceptions. And I think that's really because they don't, as you mentioned, you know, want to actually talk about the actual issue. None of the ads mention genetic engineering. And that's what this is about. It's about our right to know what's in our food, pure and simple.
Well,
and what are these companies so intent on hiding?
It's our right to know versus the corporate right to hide. You know, the corporations demand their right to hide.
Exactly. Yeah, and so far, you know, this is okay. We'll see, you know, what happens Tuesday. I think a lot of people are seeing through it. We have a huge ground operation with 10,000 volunteers out on the streets and so many people who are so passionate about this because it's deeply personal, because people want to know about genetic engineering and whether our food comes from nature or a Monsanto lab.
Right, and in fact, we are all laboratory experiments. We've had genetically engineered foods on the shelves for many years. About 80% of what's on the supermarket shelves are genetically engineered because of Monsanto and its soy and corn. And at least we should have labeling and the right to know and make a choice. Other countries, many countries, have that right already.
That's right, 61 other countries, and we haven't been able to get it here because of the enormous influence of these, of Monsanto and the chemical companies. And so, you know, in California, we're taking it directly to the voters, and it's been just a massive grassroots mobilization to get that to happen. And we're confident that people are going to go into the voting booths on Tuesday and value their right to know.
Okay. All right, we have 30 seconds left, Stacey. Was there anything else that you can suggest that people do in the fight for Prop 37, our right to know what's going into our mouths and our stomachs?
Well, now's the time. Get out on the streets, talk to your friends, go to our website, sign up, yeson37.org, and just let every California voter that you know how important this is and how simple it is. It's about our right to know and choose for ourselves what we're eating and feeding our families.
Okay. Thanks so much for your work, Stacey Malkin, the California Right to Know, and in support of Proposition 37, the vote on Tuesday. I think we're out of time. Are we out of time, Joe? We're out of time. Yes, we're out of time. Okay. I'll have the Barbie twins on the show next week. My trial starts tomorrow in Anaheim, my freedom of speech trial. Thanks for listening. Pleasure having you with us today on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. For archives and podcasts and to donate online, please go to goveganradio.com.
KCAA Loma Linda, News Talk Radio for the Inland Empire.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Chris Earl Phillips. For this afternoon, sunny and a high near 88. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 57. Heading into the work week, we started on Monday with sunny skies and a high near 86. Monday night, mostly clear with a low around 58. On Tuesday, sunny and a high near 85. Tuesday night, mostly clear, low around 56. On Wednesday, sunny and a high near 82.